Business Matters on Highland Radio is brought to you by local enterprise office Donegal. If you have an idea to start or grow your business within Donegal, contact the local enterprise office team to find out more about the supports available for businesses. See localenterprise.ie/Donegal.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Business Matters on Highland Radio with me, Chris Ashmore. In this week's programme, I'll be taking a look at two particular businesses in the county, one which is just starting up and another which is already well established. Later, we'll hear from John McGrory from Letter Barrow about his award-winning tour guide business, Walking Ireland. But first, a new sustainable fashion centre is opening in Letterkenny. The Circular Dress Collaborative is a new hub for sustainable fashion and events. It'll encourage customers to participate in the circular economy by selling their pre-loved, high-quality dresses, clothing, accessories, and sellers can also earn some money from these clothes as well. It all sounds very interesting, so let's delve into matters. I'm delighted to say, to tell me a little bit more, is Sheila Clancy O'Donnell, who is leading this venture and has quite a story to tell herself. Sheila, I suppose we'll look back and then we'll look forward, but in a nutshell, tell us firstly, what is Circular Dress Collaborative all about?
Well, hello, and thank you very much for having me on here. The Circular Dress Collaborative is, to me, a collaboration between myself, the community, women who are trying to get back into the workforce, women who are possibly bored, women who want to sell things that have been hanging in their closet, or women who want to buy something and say, I want to do something for the environment to keep things out of the landfill. So it's a collaboration of everybody working together to do what we can for good.
And before we expand on that, your own background very much to do with fashion and design. You're originally from New York, and after leaving school, the career path was certainly down that fashion designer route.
Yeah, so I was so lucky that I went to Marist College in Poughkeepsie, New York, which the McCluskeys from Letterkenny have a restaurant right over the bridge in New Paltz. And at Marist, my fashion director was the ex-director for Halston, which is a major design brand in New York. And he had all connections with fashion designers. So we interned with Marc Jacobs and Michael Kors. And once I had everything under my belt for design, I was picked out to work at Liz Claiborne in the design study room. And I just went around the company learning about all aspects of design. I chose at the end of the year dresses, which I absolutely loved. I then was plucked by a headhunter to the competing company and just traveled the world making dresses for mass Americans, you know, in big quantities in a fast fashion type of venue, which now I highly regret.
Over there in New York, the opportunities came along your way, no doubt a little bit of hard work and grafting, but it led to a career that enabled you to do a lot of travel, and certainly it was hugely satisfying and rewarding as well.
Oh my, it was the greatest career. You know, it was my dream since I was 5 years old. And, you know, when we were younger, my mother didn't have a lot of money, so we had to make our own clothes. We had to make dolls out of fabric and things like that. And I'm actually really grateful for that, because that always gave me the drive and the passion for what I did. But I did travel around the world, and I've been in the factories in Bangladesh and Sri Lanka and India and worked with all these amazing people. And I just know that the opportunities for design in Ireland are massive, the craft and the creativity and everything like that. And I do think that, too, everything I've done in my life and my journey has brought me to this. And it was so satisfying.
Now, that was New York. You've been in Letterkenny the last 19 years or so. So how did you end up coming to Donegal?
So I met my Duhurry-born husband, Martin O'Donnell, in New York. And once I became pregnant with my first child, Seamus, I was sat down by the VP of a massive company, and was told the job or the kid, pick one. So after having a career of opening my own business, and I had my own store, and I was president of the Chamber of Commerce, and I had a real estate license at the same time, and at this point, two babies, I said, Martin, this is boring. Let's move to Ireland. You have great family and friends. Let's go over there. We came over here, and I've had a 19-year career in retail for big brands in Letterkenny and haven't looked back. Like, I've, again, everything I've done has set me right up for this point right now.
Let's move forward to the present day and Circular Dress Collaborative. How has it all come about?
Right. So I'm getting my master's in sustainability because, you know, I was a retail manager for so long and I needed something a little bit more for myself. And I'm very, you know, concerned about the environment and I love natural fabrics and things like that. And I taught fashion in TY's and at the ATU as well. So I said, I want to get back to what I love. And so I started getting my master's. I've been there for a year at University of Galway, getting my master's in sustainability leadership. And we went to Bologna on a trip and, for the school. And we went to this place. It was called Etabetta. And it was a social enterprise where this famous glass artist started this enterprise to help people who were marginalized and had disabilities work in woodworking and agriculture. And in the middle of it, he had a 5-star Michelin chef restaurant. And I thought, I'm not him. I'm not as good as him, but I can put my fashion and my knowledge in retail and service and fabric together and create something really special for Letterkenny. So that's what I'm doing.
Would it be fair to say that for much of your career, you know, being so involved in fashion and looking at the latest trends, you were very much part of the whole consumer world, and this is a little bit of a flip, isn't it?
I'm totally flipping my career over, but, you know, when you're in designing and you're doing these things, no one tells you about the processes and how bad it is and everything like that. And once I started learning about that, I thought I need to do something to pay it forward for what I've done in the past. And, you know, like, it hasn't all been bad. I have always helped empower women and people in the communities or whatever. But we don't know what's going on with the processes of the things we're wearing. And so, yes. I'm turning my career into a totally different avenue.
So the Circular Dress Collaborative is a hub. It's in Letterkenny. In a nutshell, it's going to help the whole circular economy. People can sell their pre-loved, be it dresses or clothing or whatever. There's also an opportunity for people to make money out of it. So how does that actually work?
Right. So, you know, any person who has dresses, coats, things that you would wear to an event, wedding dresses. I have tons of wedding dresses coming in, Mother of the Bride. You take that item, you put a price on it, but you have to strip the emotion out of it. And this is what I tell everybody. You know, you may be a bride who spent 5,000 euros on a wedding dress, but that dress is not worth 5,000 euros anymore. And you have to think you have so much competition right now between the online resale, between the fast fashion, the sale racks, you know, other vintage and charity shops. And the charity shops do really great things, and I'm not taking away from them. I'm just adding less to go to the landfill. So they've got to put the price on. They bring it in. We try to sell it for them. They get 60% of the proceeds. We get 40%. And with that 40%, I have women coming in to volunteer to help sew. You know, eventually we'll have the repair. We'll have the repurposing. So if something comes in and it really is old and can't sell, I'll look at it and say, let's redesign it to this or that. And again, with the great collaborations, I met a wonderful woman who's originally from Nigeria, who lives in Letterkenny for years now. And she's a great fashion designer and sewer, and I hope to collaborate with her because I think she's wonderful.
I see that amongst those who you've had some support and help, Karen McGinley of the Donegal Local Development Company, and also Richard McNamara of McDonald's. So maybe you can elaborate just how they've played a part.
Right. So Karen and the Donegal Development step by step. You know, I was a whirlwind, and I had this idea once I came back from Bologna in April. And by, I gave it a month. I put in my notice at work, and I started at the beginning of, I think it was the beginning of June. And 5 weeks later, we're opening up a place, and she was there every step of the way giving me advice. Here's who you contact. Here's what you do. We've got to do this next step by step, trying to keep me in check. So they've been wonderful. Like she has been an absolute legend in my eyes. And then Richard, you know, you always want to align yourself with somebody who has your back, who knows what they're doing, who has been in these situations, can give you advice. And Richard, you know, the warehouse is his warehouse, and he set up the space. He said, let me show you this. Bernie from Donegal Stationery told me that there was spaces available. Now, I will say it was really expensive around town trying to find a site to open this up. But I was determined because I said, this is something good for Letterkenny, for Donegal, for the outlying areas, and for the environment, and I'm going to make this done. So I really worked with Richard to pick his brain, to get the space right, everything like that, and he has been so very helpful, and I couldn't thank him enough as well.
And where exactly are the premises? Where is this warehouse?
It's Unit 1 Thorn Road. So if you go past past Arena 7, you take a right turn. I think the road is down. You're going down by the rugby pitch. And the Cube building is there, and we're right after the Cube building.
And what about an online presence? Are people able to look at things online and to see what you'll have? Will it be updated online, or how's that all going to work?
Yes, as you just said, it's hoping to get there. I do have a website, and I have the generic stuff on there at the moment. It's going to be, appointments are going to be taken on there as well. And product will be on the website. Buying it, I'm still thinking about this with the shipping and everything, because I am trying to keep it sustainable, and I want people to come into this hub. So it's worth a journey. This is not a regular shop. It's not a charity shop. It's not a regular retail store. This is an experience, and there's things in there that you will not see anywhere else, and, you know, visuals, and, you know, we're going to do sewing classes. We're going to do painting classes and workshops and, you know, fashion classes and things like that within this hub. This is going to be an environment. So I don't, like, the website will be a lot better, trust me. You know, it's generic at the moment, but again, this was all set up very quickly. But I know the online shopping is huge. I just have to figure out how it sits with my business model, you know, to make it sustainable.
No doubt there'll be quite a few people who might come in almost. There'll be a curiosity factor. There's a novelty aspect to something new in the town. People might come in just for a look, and they mightn't bring in anything with them. They might buy something there. They may take it away. But I'm sure a lot of it is all about getting people to actually come out, see the place, and then they'll have the idea of, well, maybe what have I got in my house that perhaps I can offload, maybe make a few quid out of it, keep it in the circular economy. And it's all going to help eliminate the people just who may be just throwing away clothes here and there.
Yeah, well, the thing is, and the one thing, like, you know, after doing with the master's reports and things like that, Ireland has the highest consumption of new textiles in the EU. And 65% of new textiles go to landfills when no one wants it. So that in itself should make everyone think, I need to get in there and have a nosy. And you know what? Come in and look for, you know, first, see if this is for you or not. You know, I was never a vintage shopper. I never liked secondhand. Now it's, I do a little bit of both. I don't shop on the fast fashion, but I do a little bit of both, and that's fine. If everybody just did a little something, and the best thing about this shop that you won't get in anywhere, you know, any regular shop is, you come in, you buy a dress for an event. You have a wedding, no problem. Come in, buy the dress, wear it, clean it, bring it back in, and resell it again. So if you buy the dress for 30 euros, you wear it, you clean it, you bring it back, you sell it for 25, you have to pay the commission, you know, for the 40%. But that dress literally costs you 10 euros, maybe 12 euros. So you can go out and buy a new dress for 80 or 90 euros, or you can come back in and try to buy a dress for 12 euros. So, you know, I don't know. To me, I know which option I would pick, but I'm a little bit biased.
Do you actually have a target market, or is it a case of the more the merrier? Fair to say, so there's a lot of young people who have grown up in the sort of age of fast fashion. This might be might take a little bit of conversion, but you know, I presume you're not going to be debarring anybody because everybody, in theory, must be welcome.
Well, you know what? I really wouldn't not welcome anybody. I have people bringing in kids' dresses. I have, for the older generation, I have for the younger generation, I have prom dresses. I have bridesmaids' dresses, you know, so I've got mother of the bride dresses. So it's going to capture every single generation. And the thing is, there should be no generation. Like, if you were crafty and you were thrifty and you were thinking wisely, you'd look at something and go, okay, maybe not that, but I could take that and I could change it just a little with a little bit of help. And this is where I think the sewing classes would come in. You know, I think that the money is not out there as much as it was before. And I think that, you know, we can do things together. That's the collaborative, to make things more wearable and keep it out of the landfills. And I do think you're right. You know, my generation and upwards, we don't really shop like this. This is going to take a little bit of time. But the thing is, just do it once and see how you like it. You know, just try it. Just have a look even. It's fine.
This could be replicated elsewhere, maybe somewhere else in Donegal or further afield, because if the model works here, it should work in other places as well.
Yeah, and why not, you know, why couldn't this be a brand like a Forever 21 or Zara or something like that? And the thing, you know, as someone said to me today, it's not just a shop. It's events going on. There's things happening in there. It's a hub. You know, and I think people now want experiences, and this is a way to give people money back in their pockets to have these experiences. Maybe if you make 10 euros on a dress, it's buying your kids McDonald's tonight and they're all happy. You know, I don't know. I just think we could be doing things a little bit more clever and, you know, exciting, because everybody's so influenced by the same one person that everybody's starting to look the same and they're dressing the same. And let's all just bring back our own personalities and be ourselves. And the other thing I'd like to say is you can't just drop the things in. I have to have appointments for everyone coming in, because I had a woman come in the other day and she was so kind and so generous and brought in 75 pairs of shoes. And I thought I was going to have a heart attack. So it's by appointment only, and I take appointments on Sunday mornings and Wednesday mornings, and the hours are all on the website.
Great. And I suspect there'll be a little bit of seasonality about it. We'll have Halloween time and Christmas time, and you may sort of have a glut of certain items, and that'll be interesting to see how they go.
Yeah, well, no, that's funny, because I talked to a local retailer and she was very kind, you know, to give me some details and everything about that. She was saying, you know, people go away to Spain in November and December. Don't take out all your summer things because, you know, it's cold here, it's warm there, you know, seasons don't really happen anymore, you know, because of climate change and everything. The temperatures change. Now, I'd love to have a lot more Halloween, and I have maybe a hat and a wig at the moment, but I think Halloween costumes are a great thing to resell and everything, because you only wear it once, and then what do you do with it? I just, hopefully people will stop just throwing it out or getting rid of it or letting it sit in their closet. The rule of thumb usually is, if you haven't worn it in a year, you move it on, and someone else will take it in.
So just to recap, Circular Dress Collaborative, a new sustainable fashion centre opening here in Letterkenny. And Sheila Clancy O'Donnell, if people want to find out more, just give us those website details again.
It's www.circulardresscollaborative.com.
And that was Sheila Clancy O'Donnell, the inspiration behind the Circular Dress Collaborative in Letterkenny. Now, let's change tack and take a look at another niche market here in the county, but one that is already well established. WalkingIreland.ie was set up by John McCrory from Letter Barrow. Walking Ireland was set up by John McCrory from Letter Barrow, a former Garda who served as a UN peacekeeper in Cyprus. His award-winning business is going from strength to strength. I caught up with him recently to discover more. John, I suppose just to kick things off as such, tell us a little bit, in a nutshell, about what Walking Ireland is all about.
It's a business I was started a number of years ago. Initially guiding people on the mountains here in Donegal and stuff, but then it expanded into more general tours, both here in Donegal and then countrywide as well. So overall it's developed into a tourism business, bringing people to scenic spots throughout the countryside, but also including hiking if they so wish.
It's an area with huge potential. When did you first sort of think about going into this seriously? Was it a long drawn out process, or did you suddenly get a light bulb moment and say, I'm going to go for this?
I've always been involved in hiking since the mid-1990s, involved here with the Blue Stick Ramblers Walking Club. And then in the early noughties, the club itself got a chance for some of us to do what became known as a tour guide badge. And it was one of the first courses of its kind run in the country through the LYIT at the time and Tourism College in Kennebecs. So a number of us did that. And within that, part of the project you had to do was put together a little tour. It was part of one of the things you had to do. And out of that, I developed a love for guiding and tourism in general. And eventually then I took the plunge back in 2016 and started my own business and started providing transport and longer tours, things like that. So it's developed from there. Since I've basically been at it full time now since 2016, so about 8 years.
In order to get the word out there, I take it having a website and an online presence was absolutely crucial.
Yeah, it was, yeah. WalkingIreland .ie, I did acquire that domain name quite a number of years ago and was advertising a little bit of it, but then when I went and set up a full-time business, it became quite important as a portal for people to find me online and communicate with me. So it's, I'm putting up my tours there, and they also can book online through the website for day tours or things like that, or they can come direct to me and look for something more customized if they wish.
So tell us a little about the very first sort of tour that you did on a commercial basis. What was the area that you began in?
So once we did, a number of us did our tour guide badge, we actually started to get requests from clubs around Ireland saying, you know, we're coming up to Donegal, would you have a guide to get up into the Blue Stacks and things like that. And that's sort of where the love of it developed. And then initially, my plan when I started the business itself was just to run day tours from Donegal Town out to the Slieve League area, out to Glencullum Kill. Basically, a five-hour trip around that area. You could go to the tourist office in Donegal Town and pre-book your ticket. And that went very well for the first couple of years. And then I started to get requests to do more multi-day tours and organize hiking packages. Like people come into Donegal Town, I would pick up their luggage, have their accommodation stuff arranged all the way through and give them their maps and all and move their luggage and along the way. And there's a number of different products in there. There's sort of day trips out to Slieve League area or to Malin Head, or I can do a multi-day tour all around the countryside, or I can organise a package here sort of in the Blue Stacks where you have a 3 to 5 day hiking tour which will take you from Donegal Town all the way around to even Glencullum Kill if you so wish. Quite a lot of strands to it.
And the actual mix of clients, is it mainly Irish? Is it Europeans? Is it American? What sort of breakdown would there be?
Yeah, the walking through the Blue Stacks, the Blue Stack Way and the International Appalachian Trail, that kind of stuff, that would be mainly Irish and maybe some Europeans. But the multi-day tours would be 99% American. It varies from one product to the other.
Now, you're not just exclusively doing things within the county of Donegal. There's also options in the rest of the country.
My preference is to try and persuade them to come to Donegal and make sure that if they're doing a multi-day tour, that they actually include Donegal in it. But I would do a tour where I'd pick a group up at Dublin Airport or Shannon Airport and do maybe a 7 or 10 day complete package for them, dropping them back at the airport. So it is, it takes me all over the country.
And John, I see also you do private tours. So what exactly are private tours? Are these sort of tailor-made to fit people's specific requests?
That would be sort of the multi-day thing, where I'd be working with groups maybe up to a year in advance when they're coming in. But that would be for a private group, a family group or friends or whatever. I take up to a maximum of 8 people on a private tour, but I don't mix groups. Those groups would all be just individual to themselves, friends or family or something like that. So I customize, work with them for up to a year in advance, customize their whole itinerary, and as I say, try and persuade them to definitely include Donegal for a couple of days, sort of build up the profile of Donegal as much as possible. So to always try and persuade them to come up here.
When you're out on a tour, for example, I know you do one of Glenveagh National Park in West Donegal. It's a full day tour. Do you sort of adjust what information you're divulging and talking to people depending on the group? Because I take it some people will maybe be looking for more information than the others. Some may already have some knowledge of the area. So I suppose each tour is slightly different than the previous one.
Well, yeah, that is the beauty of the business. And then each day is different. You have a different group, and they are coming with some of them with ideas of what Ireland is like or what Ireland's they expect Ireland to be. Some of them have absolutely no knowledge. Most of them will have some connection with some part of Ireland and maybe looking for heritage, something like that. But on the odd occasion, you get someone who just recently I had 3 ladies who just saw it on PBS TV in America and said, that looks like a nice place to go, and booked 7 days here, and they had absolutely no idea of Ireland. So look at it, the variety, you have to change the tour to suit whatever client you're getting and depending on their knowledge of the whole area. And you do find that a lot of them have this sort of fantasy idea of Ireland that we still have leprechauns running around the roadway on occasions, but look, they get quite a shock when they come here. Even people who have a little knowledge, they realise that sort of the comments I get is the cleanliness of the country, things like that. For some reason, they don't expect it. Actually, another one that they regularly say is that they feel Ireland, certainly American clients feel Ireland's extremely good value, which is something we ourselves would, you know, debate at times as to whether it is good value or not, but Americans definitely view Ireland as good value. So again, it varies.
And of the places that you go around Donegal, in terms of the feedback, what are the most popular? Is it your Sleeve Leagues and your Glenveagh National Park, or is it ones that are sometimes maybe less well known?
It is. A lot of them will say we want to see something that's off the beaten track, but there's no doubt about it when they come to Sleeve League. And a lot of them maybe have already been to the Cliffs of Moher. I suppose everybody at the Cliffs of Moher are known. And I actually, when I take them to Sleeve League, I sort of stand back and sort of let them look at it and don't make much comment. But I would say in the region of 80 to 90% of them will turn around and make a specific comment about Sleeve League, which just blows you out of the water. The beauty of the place, they're just blown away by it. Glenveagh as well, the National Park Glenveagh and the whole story there. And the setting to find the castle and gardens sort of in the mountains and lake area, again, a fantastic attraction. But then, as you said, the other things like they are also looking for the not so popular areas, that there are things that are not on the sort of the big list of things to do in Ireland, and sort of the whole of Donegal Lake, it's just phenomenal. You can take them anywhere. Like I can bring a person in Donegal town there and hold them there for 4 days, or Letterkenny or Buncrana or somewhere, and take them on 4 or 5 different trips, and each day they're getting something completely different. So we have a fantastic county, we have a fantastic scenery, we have fantastic facilities, and they are blown away by it when they get here.
John, what about the intensity of a walking tour? Because some of them are going to be a little bit more demanding than others, depending on things like the terrain. Is that explained to people before they start off, or indeed before they even book? Or is it a case that sometimes they may come not knowing exactly what is ahead?
No, I know. I would be working with people well in advance if it's a private tour. They're going to know exactly what they're getting themselves into. The only issue that we'd have would be weather, but they're told well in advance that, look, we can predict the weather. And funny enough, we as the Irish, we're the only people who worry about the weather. Most visitors, they know coming to Ireland, they're not coming here for a suntan or anything like that, so they're well prepared for the weather. And see, we're the only ones to keep talking about it. They're just happy to get out.
So
we would work with them well in advance.
And on that point of the weather, you know, you often see a cloudy day, and the Irish people are the people who go out without taking any rain gear, whereas the visitors to these shores generally will always have it with them because, as you say, they know in advance and they seem to adapt better.
Yeah, it's like one particular walker a couple of years ago where I had myself done a holiday in Canada and sort of seen scenery, and this lady was from Canada, and I told her, I said, you know, sort of every corner you went around in Canada, there was a sort of a wow factor with the scenery. So we're walking up through the Bluestacks, and personally I thought it was one of the most horrible days. It was out, lashed rain, wind, everything else. And she said to me, she said, John, you know those wow moments you had in Canada? I'm having them right now here. And she was soaked.
Yeah.
And so, like, they don't worry about the weather.
And maybe, John, going forward, we hear a lot this summer in particular related to climate change and the fact that so many parts of southern Europe are getting extreme heat, that there's a shift towards people taking their holidays in northern Europe and Scandinavia. Has already seen a lift, and here in Ireland, that we're going to actually having people coming for a holiday in an area that has a cooler climate. So that is good news for you.
Yeah, we have potential to be more popular because of the warm climates in Europe. And yeah, you do hear that on the odd occasion, people commenting here that they're happy to be here, to be just out of the heat. So yeah, maybe it is a plus for us going forward, yeah.
Just looking at walking tours in general, John, compared with some of our European neighbours, I suppose it was a case of catch up for some of the time, because countries like Switzerland and Austria, even in the summer, they're renowned for walking holidays as well. So we're sort of late to this whole party.
Yeah, you could say we're late to, but the infrastructure is quite good now. Here in Donegal alone, we have somewhere in excess of 40 marked trails of various different sizes, from 2 kilometres up to the likes of the Bluestack Way, 48 kilometres. The International Appalachian Trail, 123 kilometres. And they're all those trails are inspected on a biannual basis by Sport Ireland in relation to infrastructure and safety and everything else. So Donegal's quite well up there with over 40 trails recognised in the national network as well. So, yeah, we can offer a good product here.
I'm speaking with John McGrory of Walking Ireland. John, online you have a website, and it gives an outline of the various walking tours that you have. I take it that having a proper booking system is absolutely vital for you, because you need to be able to plan as well and to know who's coming. So was that a big factor in setting up the website, and I suppose one of the biggest hurdles?
Well, I suppose booking and keeping an eye on the calendar is a challenge all the time. And on my website, I do have a calendar system there. If someone books it, then there's only so many spaces there. So that's a big, big help to have that on the website as well. But you still have to keep the manual diary and keep it in the head as well. That is probably one of the biggest challenges, is making sure that you don't overbook or double book people or something like that. But thankfully, to date, that's worked out pretty well for me.
You mentioned there that you'd been in Canada. Would you go to other countries and sort of maybe pick up ideas and see how things are done elsewhere and see if you can apply it back here?
I suppose the walking holiday package thing is something we probably, quite a number of years ago, Donegal Tourism and Donegal County Council and a couple of us involved in the walking industry, our walking market, we went to over to the north of England to look at what they were at there. And it was there that we sort of saw the idea of the transfer of luggage and the arrangement of accommodation in advance and the provision of maps and stuff like that. And that's the kind of thing I try and bring to any groups that are here. Like, as I said, they arrive in Donegal Town, they're given their map and given their trail, and then their luggage is moved on and the accommodation is booked. It depends on what they want. Like, it can, each group's different. You'll get someone who wants Airbnb, you'll get someone who wants bed and breakfast, someone who wants a hotel. So you've got to tailor the actual trail to suit that and the accommodation locations along the way. But yeah, it is something that sort of, we can pick up things from other destinations and bring back best practice here. Where we've really come on a lot in the last number of years, and coming from Europe, is the signage on trails and stuff like that. 15, 20 years ago, we had very little marked trails, and sort of you're walking in the wilderness. Now you can start on a trail like Sleekon Kill, the Bluestack Way, things like that, and your chances are, unless a marker's knocked over by a sheep or a cattle or something like that, you're generally going to be safe along the whole trail. And that's things like Europe would have had those marked trails for quite a while. So we're well up there right now.
And John, great to say that your business has been recognised and you are an award winner as well.
The Irish tourism industry, there's an award section. There's awards for hotels and different business stuff like that, but then there's the Irish Hospitality Awards, which takes place every year, and thankfully this year I was lucky enough to get the Irish Hospitality Award for Best Day Out, and that was for the individual tours out to the likes of Sleevely, and that's voted on by the clients that come along on the tours, and thankfully I got recognition for that.
And that very recognition at a national level, you know, the publicity that you'll have garnered from that, you know, that obviously will entice more people to look up and hopefully generate more business.
It's a national award. It brings in some of the big days out in Ireland, and thankfully the Best Day Out came to Donegal, as a number of other awards went to various different hotels and stuff in the county as well. And the county did really well within the overall award ceremony that night. We had quite a few firsts came to the county as well. So it shows that the county is on the up and up, and tourism's going from strength to strength here.
And tell me, John, what about the expanding cruise liner business? Killybegs and Greencastle are getting more and more visits there. Are you able to tap into that market or not?
Yeah, I can tap into that market. It is something like, I think, the numbers this year, I think it's about 28 cruise ships moving to Killybegs or something like that. Now, they come in for just one day, and you will get coach tours coming off that the people pre-book on the ship, and that's creating a bit of employment for local guides, people who have done those courses in Killybegs Tourism College or the LYAT, and it's giving people a little bit of employment. Also coming off that, then you get private tours, you get people requesting a private tour to go to Glenbey or even Malinhead, or maybe take a private tour out to Sleevleague, stuff like that. Lots of those now don't want to go walking, they just want a day of sightseeing. They're in the morning and they're heading away again by 4 or 5, 6 p.m. in the evening time, so you've got a short window to get them. But it is generating tourism traffic all over the county, which is good to see.
And John, is there a national body for tour guides who are involved in the whole walking tour sector? And do you communicate much? Is there a national conference, or is there something that sort of brings it all together and as such?
Yeah, there is. There's once tour guides qualify and get their certificate, they can join an association called the Association of Tour Guides in Ireland, or ATGI. And your membership in there gives you includes your public liability insurance. And then for private drivers who are doing private tours as well, then they have to comply with the national transport regulations. They have to have SPSV licenses on both their vehicle and on themselves, and insurance and stuff like that. So there is quite a lot of regulation on the thing. Now, the guiding, it's basically anyone can guide, but lots of the companies coming in will look and ask, do you have a tour guides badge? And those tour guides badges are required through that course in Killybegs.
Two final questions, John. Firstly, are you optimistic about the future for this sector? And secondly, if somebody wants to find out more, tell us a little bit about your website and where to go.
Yeah, I think Donegal is definitely just a starting point. We also can look at some other areas that are maybe saturated with tourists, and we can look and we can maybe plan as to sort of how many tourists we want in here to a certain extent. We don't want to be overrun, but at the same time, we're a long, long way behind the likes of the southwest corner and the Cliffs of Moher and things like that. So there's quite a lot of potential, I think, here in Donegal, and people are starting to realise that Donegal has everything and more than any other county has. In relation to my website and stuff, most people get me on info@walkingireland.ie. The website is walkingireland.ie, and then the email is info@walkingireland.ie as well.
Yep. And if, John, if there was somebody out there who thought, you know, maybe this is a possible career for me and, you know, I would be interested in this sort of thing, there is sort of, excuse the pun, there is a pathway to becoming a tour guide, as you've touched on, and no doubt you would feel in the future that there's scope here for more people to be employed within this whole area here in the county.
The third point, anybody wants to get involved in the tour guiding thing, is to definitely get in touch with ATU through Killybegs and do the course there. Then after that, like places like the distilleries are beginning to employ guides, specific things. The OPW in New Mills and Glenveagh, places like that, they're constantly employing guides on a seasonal basis. Excursions Ireland, who organise the tours on land for the ships, they're always looking for guides. And then how far you want to bring it yourself is up to yourself. If you want to get into the transport end of things, then you're going to start your own business and you're going to have to invest in it. But there is potential there, I believe, anyway.
Well, that's it for this week's Business Matters. My thanks to Sheila Clancy O'Donnell of Circular Dress Collaborative and John McCrory of Walking Ireland. To contact the programme, you can email me at businessmatters@highlandradio.com. Until the next time, thanks, as always, for listening in. From me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
Business Matters on Highland Radio is brought to you by Local Enterprise Office Donegal. If you have an idea to start or grow your business within Donegal, contact the Local Enterprise Office team to find out more about the supports available for businesses. See localenterprise.ie/Donegal.